Good morning. Our first scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our second reading is different than what it says in the bulletin. It was changed. Instead of chapter 11, it's chapter 10, the book of Acts. The story that we are about to hear from the book of Acts was so important to the early church that it is told twice, first in Acts 10 and then repeated in Acts 11. No issue was more debated by early Christians or more important to them than whether their newfound faith was intended only for the Jewish people or whether it was to include the Gentiles while allowing them to remain Gentiles. In this story we are about to hear, Cornelius, a Roman soldier, and Peter, the Jewish Jesus follower, the very same Peter, the disciple, who followed Jesus all over Galilee and to Jerusalem, who is the leader of the new church movement. Cornelius and Peter each have a holy encounter which changes their perspective. Cornelius and Peter listen to God and then listen to each other. Biblical commentator William Barclay calls this the great turning point in the history of the church because Cornelius became the first Gentile admitted into church fellowship. May you listen now for the miraculous word as inspired by God. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" The angel answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter." When the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven open and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened 3 times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, 3 men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day, Peter got up and went with them to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him, and as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. And Peter said to them, "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "4 days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house, when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send them therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. Therefore I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come.' So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Barriers are crashing down in this story. It is hard for us to understand the cultural division, but Peter states it very clearly. "You yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate or to visit a Gentile." This is a dramatic tale, and if we are honest, we know that similar barriers exist today, constructed in our own lives between classes, races, backgrounds, religions, and cultures. As the scripture reading from the book of Acts continues on verse 34, "Then Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.' While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, 'Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days." Here ends the reading. Praise be to God. When the council in Jerusalem heard about Peter entering the home of a Roman centurion, an uncircumcised and unclean Gentile, and Peter sitting at table with him and breaking bread with him, while the Jerusalem council, made up of circumcised Jewish Jesus followers, kind of freaked out and asked Peter to return to explain himself. The first question to Peter is, "What did you eat?" So in Acts 11, Peter tells the whole story again about the vision and all of the animals being declared clean and Cornelius' vision and their encounter. Peter tells his story and they listen. This pivotal point in church history, as told through the stories in Acts, is fascinating, but here's the take home for all of us today. The power in listening to break down barriers and to change the world, again, the power in listening to break down barriers and to change the world. There is a lot of listening going on here. Listening to God first and then to each other. And it is that listening, really listening, to each other's stories, questions, revelations, holy encounters, that breaks down the barriers between Cornelius and Peter. Ernest Hemingway once said, "When people talk, listen completely. Most people never listen." Cornelius and Peter each listened completely to God and then to each other. Listening completely is active. It takes trust and vulnerability. And we have to stop talking to be able to listen. We have to stop forming our response in our head and simply listen. Listening is an action, a very powerful action. Rachel Naomi Raymond, Kitchen Table Wisdom, writes, "Everybody is a story. When I was a child, people sat around the kitchen tables and told their stories. Sitting around the table telling stories is not just a way of passing the time, it is the way wisdom gets passed along. The stuff that helps us live a life worth remembering. Despite the awesome powers of technology, many of us still do not live very well. We may need to listen to each other's stories once again." Listening to each other doesn't make Peter and Cornelius the same, but in listening, they learn and recognize their common faith in one God. The way to both recognize diversity and to embrace it is by listening to stories, experiences, and points of view that differ from our own outlook and life experience. Through listening, genuine listening, we hear the other and realize that we have as much in common as we are different. I'm going to ad lib a little here. I went to a conference one time, and the person giving the conference said, "You know, most people, when they listen, they're already conjuring up what they're going to say back to the person." So she would say stuff and then go around and make us repeat, and whoa, you know, that really does happen. So, and I know one thing in working with kids for many years, one thing that they really, really appreciate is someone that will just listen to them. And many times, and it took this old Irishman a while to figure that out, you don't even need to respond. Just being there to listen. And I had letters sometimes from kids that said, "We really appreciated we could come into your office and you would just listen to us." So it is real stuff. Now back to the script. Today we don't listen very well to each other. There is the distraction of phones, screens, televisions, and computers, a constant hum of background noise and divided attention. And yet listening to each other's stories can be healing, can break down barriers that divide us, and can bring about change. Telling our stories is a way of telling the truth about who we really are. But as we're reminded by Henry David Thoreau, it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak and the other to listen. Peter and Cornelius spoke the truth to each other. They shared their discomfort of cultural barriers in their lives. They spoke of holy encounters, and they spoke of their hunger for God. Such listening and speaking takes time. It takes sitting at the same table, or riding in the same car, or working side by side. I'll ad lib again. Some of my best memories of with our two children were taking them on college visits one-on-one in the car, because there aren't any phones, and we'd turn the music off. And there's kind of that separation in the seat, but there really is, and I learned an awful lot from riding with them of some of their little stories. So that's something to keep in mind. Back to the script. Today we don't listen very well to each other's stories, especially when the topic veers into the political arena. Ho, ho. We make quick assumptions, don't we, based on political opinion, bumper stickers, based on sound bites, each living in our own echo chambers. We think we have a corner on the truth, when in actuality, we aren't listening to each other very well. In the story from Acts, Peter breaks down 1,000 years of cultural barrier by listening to God and through listening and valuing Cornelius' story. UConn English professor Gina Barreca wrote in a recent editorial, "In our conversations, whether political, public, or private, we seem to be increasingly belligerent, uncivil, and unrelenting, determined to crush the opposition rather than to listen to the other side. Could it be that what we fear most is that our positions might change? Listening to someone else's ideas is the one way to know whether the story you believe about the world, as well as about yourself and your place in it, remains intact. We all need to examine our beliefs, air them out, let them breathe, hearing what other people have to say, especially about concepts we regard as foundational. It's like opening a window in our minds and in our hearts." Amy Dickinson, the columnist we know as Ask Amy, I'm a Dear Abby guy, but says that it is vital we continue to talk and to listen to one another as we tell our stories. This feeling of connectedness underscores our humanity. Amy continues, "None of us is alone, as long as we're brave and generous enough to hold on to each other. Breaking down barriers by speaking the truth, by listening to each other's stories, and by telling our own story, we need to listen now, maybe more than ever. Perhaps you think the barriers are too great, too uncomfortable, too much. I'm sure that Peter and the early Jesus followers thought the barrier between Jews and Gentiles was too great as well, between the circumcised and uncircumcised, between the clean and unclean." Mandy mentioned this book more than a few weeks ago, but Tattoos on the Heart. And if you haven't read that, pick it up, folks, and read it. It is awesome. And you'll become just tattooed to that book, really. I mean, it's amazing. This Father Greg Boyle is just unbelievable. I'd love to meet the guy. It's a book of stories about hope and heartbreak, love and forgiveness, transformation and grace. Father Gregory Boyle is the founder of Homeboy Industries, started in the late 80s in Los Angeles at the peak of the gang warfare. Homeboy Industries is an outreach ministry, an intervention program to gang members. Yes, gang members, people who deal drugs, shoot one another, are covered in tattoos, and have spent a lot of time cycling in and out of prison. These are the folks that Father Boyle employs, talks to, forgives, anoints, baptizes, buries, and loves. Shockingly, when the gang members are offered jobs at Homeboy Industries, they have to work side by side with former enemies, members of other gangs. Father Boyle hopes the connection will spill over into the streets so that they will not simply see an enemy gang member, but another person, another child of God. A story from Tattoos on the Heart, pages 87 to 88. I had a 23-year-old homie named Miguel working for me on our graffiti crew. As with a great many of our workers, I had met him years earlier when he was detained. He was an extremely nice kid whose pleasantness was made all the more remarkable by the fact that he had been completely abandoned by his family. Prior to their rejection of him, they had mistreated, abused, and scarred him plenty. He calls me one New Year's Day. "Happy New Year, G." "Hey, that's very thoughtful of you, dog," I say. "You know, Miguel, I was thinking of you, you know, on Christmas." "So what did you do on Christmas?" I asked, knowing that he had no family to welcome him in. "Oh, you know, I was right here," meaning his tiny apartment where he lives alone. "All by yourself?" I asked. "Oh, no. I invited homies from the crew, you know, vatos, like me, who didn't have no place to go for Christmas." He names five homies who came over, all former enemies from rival gangs. "Really?" I tell him. "That was sure nice of you." But now he's got me revved up and curious. So I ask him, "What did you do?" "Well, you're not going to believe this, but I cooked a turkey." You feel his pride through the phone. "Wow, you did? That's impressive. What else did you have besides turkey?" "Just that, just turkey," he says. His voice tapers to a hush. "Yeah, the six of us, we just sat there, staring at the oven, waiting for the turkey to be done." Boyle concludes, "One would be hard-pressed to imagine something more sacred, ordinary, than these six orphans staring at an oven together. It is the entire law and the prophets, all in one moment, right there in this humble, holy kitchen." These six young men had worked side by side. They had told stories and listened to each other. And by doing so, they broke down barriers. And then they gathered around the table to share a turkey, no longer enemies, gathered at a sacred table. Listening to each other's stories is sacred. Telling your story and knowing it will be received and respected is sacred. In listening to stories, we find our own truth. Here is the take home for all of us today. Listen to God. Listen to each other. Listen for the holy encounter in everyday life. Hear the sacred truth in another's story. Take the time to listen completely, because listening is an action, a powerful action which can break down barriers and change the world. In the greatest of hope, thanks be to God. Amen.